Hello again. This is Dr. Schwartzbein with another Menopause Minutes. Today's topic is what else you can do to minimize your personal risk for a heart attack. In the last Menopause Minutes, I reminded you that cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of menopausal women and that a woman's risk for having a heart attack skyrockets once she begins menopause, in large measure because of low estradiol levels. I reiterated the importance of proper hormone supplementation and reviewed the non-modifiable and modifiable risks for heart attack and talked about the connection between the modifiable risks and nutrition and lifestyle habits. From there, I focused on nutrition. Does that all sound familiar? Well, today I'm going to finish this series on heart attacks by focusing on lifestyle habits, including sleep and stress, toxic chemicals, and exercise. As always, there's a lot to cover, so let's get started by talking first about sleep and stress. Adequate quality sleep is essential to keeping metabolic balance. The lack of sleep has been implicated as a modifiable risk factor for heart attacks. Without adequate, uninterrupted quality sleep, your body doesn't have the opportunity or the right conditions to rebuild and replace all the functional, structural, and energy chemicals that you use each day to function. By adequate quality sleep, I mean 8 to 9 hours a night of uninterrupted sleep, to include getting into the deeper stages of sleep, stage 3 and 4, brought about and sustained without the use of sleeping pills. Apart from true relaxation, like meditation, sleep is really the only time your body has to rebuild. And don't be fooled. True relaxation does not include reading a book or watching TV, times when your brain is still actively engaged. Naps aren't a viable substitute either. They don't last long enough. You may feel better after a nap, but brief sleep is not restorative. You can't rebuild by napping, and regular naps tend to undercut people's ability to have 8 to 9 hours a night of uninterrupted sleep. Naps can actually contribute to sleep disruption. By sleep disruption, I mean that you fall asleep easily, but wake up between 2 and 4 or 5 a.m. The main contributors to sleep disruption for women in menopause are hormone imbalance, poor nutrition, alcohol consumption, and adrenal burnout. As you may know all too well, the lack of estradiol due to menopause causes sleep disruption and keeps you from getting into deep restorative stages of sleep. So hormone balancing through proper hormone restoration is critically important for enabling restorative sleep. As I mentioned, nutrition also causes sleep disruption. The reason for this is hypoglycemia. I see this a lot in women who are on a low carbohydrate diet, falsely believing it will help them lose fat weight. Inadequate carbohydrate intake all day, and particularly at dinner time, is a major cause of sleep disruption. Finally, adrenal gland burnout and emotional stress are also big factors in sleep disruption. So is alcohol consumption, by the way. And of course, emotional stress and fatigue are compounded by the lack of estradiol and resulting hormone imbalance. Oh, did I mention that women in menopause tend to crave more alcohol? Remember, everything's connected. How many women do you know who are in menopause and not on hormone balancing therapy, who are avoiding carbohydrates, leading stressful lives, and not sleeping well? Anyone come to mind? Perhaps you can wake them up to why this is happening and how it increases their risk of a heart attack. Okay, let's talk about stress. To be clear, I'm not saying that stress per se increases your risk for a heart attack. Rather, it is your physiological response to stress that is at the heart of the problem. Pardon the pun. If you aren't handling your stress well, you are at higher risk for a heart attack because several hormones, known as the stress hormones of the body, rise with your response to stress. These hormones, such as adrenaline and noradrenaline, cause several problems associated with heart attacks, such as vasoconstriction, increased blood clotting, and increased blood pressure. Insufficient estradiol actually increases the levels of adrenaline and noradrenaline, which is why menopausal women don't handle stress as well as they once did. That this inability to handle stress impacts personal and professional relationships and our own sense of well-being is bad enough. Add to this harm the fact that stress truly increases risk for heart attack and other degenerative diseases, and you have an issue that you simply must pay attention to. So what can you do about stress? First, look at the causes of stress in your life, including being too busy, and do what you can to eliminate or reduce their impact on you. And then, of course, there are things like meditation, deep breathing techniques, visualization, stress tapes, massage, laughter, and, of course, getting enough sleep. Oh, yeah, and eating well. Yes, proper nutrition actually helps the body cope with stress. It's all interrelated. And by the way, self-medication with alcohol, comfort food, sweets, etc., to assuage your stresses doesn't address the cause of the stress or its impact on your health. It just makes you feel better for a while, but at a cost. Which brings me to toxic chemicals. Chemicals that cause hormone imbalances in your body. As I've written about in my Schwartzbein Principle books, it's important to eliminate or at least minimize toxins, but to do so at the right time. I'm referring to toxins such as alcohol, sugar, nicotine, and excessive caffeine. There's a reason you crave these things. Yes, some of it is habit, but metabolic imbalance is another significant factor. That's what makes your body want these things. Therefore, quitting cold turkey is rarely realistic, which is why I advocate that you first pay attention to hormone balancing therapy, nutrition, sleep, stress management, and exercise before weaning off whatever you are using to self-medicate. At that point, it's easier because the physiological-driven cravings are in check. In the meantime, there are a number of things you can do to reduce the harmful impact of toxins, such as choosing less harmful ones. For instance, switching from hard liquor to wine. Again, all of this is addressed in detail in my book, The Program. All right, I'm running out of time, so I'll be brief. Exercise is the last topic I want to talk about. Interestingly, most people get the exercise thing wrong. Thinking that it protects their heart, they do too much cardiovascular exercise. Ironically, despite all good intentions, too much cardio is actually harmful. It increases the same stress hormones that stress does. That's why I call it stimulating exercise. Plus, cardio exercise creates free radicals, chemicals that damage tissue and cause inflammation, two risk factors for heart attacks. That said, exercise is important. The best type of exercise is functional. Working in the yard, housework, walking, swimming, biking short distances. Avoid prolonged exertion. Do interval type training at most. Brief periods of exertion followed by less taxing exercise, such as resistance training with light weights and some stretching to keep muscles active and flexible. Unlike what you might think, you don't want extensive sweating. This is a sign that you have put your body under stress. So no Bikram yoga. Okay, time's up, gotta run, but just short distances. Read the program. Pay attention to your nutrition and lifestyle habits and get your hormones back in balance with hormone balancing therapy. The Menopause Power Course and Take Charge Guide give you everything you need to know on that topic. Remember, hormone balancing and good nutrition and lifestyle habits will go a long, long way to reducing your personal risk for heart attack. Next time, I'm going to start a multi-session series on menopause hormone therapy and breast cancer. Be prepared to hear exactly the opposite of what most women have been led to believe on this topic. Until then, restore hormone balance, eat and sleep well, keep your stresses in check, and pay attention to how you self-medicate and exercise. In other words, be good to yourself.